If you have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Numbers chapter 2 and verses 1 to 34. As we finish up our series, Cross References, Numbers chapter 2, verses 1 to 34. And since we read the first 16 verses previously, we'll start at verse 17. Then the tent of meeting and the camp of the Levites will set out in the middle of the camps. They will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in his own place under his standard. On the west will be the divisions of the camp of Ephraim, under their standard. The leader of the people of Ephraim is Elishama, son of Ammihud. His division numbers 40,500. The tribe of Manasseh will be next to them. The leader of the people of Manasseh is Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. His division numbers 32,200. The tribe of Benjamin will be next. The leader of the people of Benjamin is Abidan, son of Gideoni. His division numbers 35,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Ephraim, according to their divisions, number 108,100. They will set out third. On the north will be the divisions of the camp of Dan, under their standard. The leader of the people of Dan is Ahiezer, son of Amishadai. His division numbers 62,700. The tribe of Asher will camp next to them. The leader of the people of Asher is Pagiel, son of Okran. His division numbers 41,500. The tribe of Naphtali will be next. The leader of the people of Naphtali is Ahira, son of Enan. His division numbers 53,400. All the men assigned to the camp of Dan number 157,600. They will set out last under their standards. These are the Israelites counted according to their families, all those in the camps by their divisions, number 603,550. The Levites, however, were not counted along with the other Israelites as the Lord commanded Moses. So the Israelites did everything the Lord commanded Moses. That is the way they encamped under their standards, and that is the way they set out, each with his clan and family. And let's pray. Lord, just thank you so much for your word. And I just pray, Lord, you just show us this morning how desperately we need to be going that way of the cross, especially in these last days. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Friday, September the 9th in Florida, people driving south on I-95 all of a sudden saw this mysterious yellow line painted right there on the highway. And that yellow line weaved back and forth across all different kinds of lanes, all the way from south of Jacksonville, clear down to St. Augustine. And people didn't know what that line was for and where it was going and how they were supposed to respond to it. So because of that, people were driving off the road and even sideswiping and crashing into each other. Well, come to find out, a Florida DOT truck had their spray painter turned on and didn't even know about it. People, listen to me. You want to get to where you really want to go. You don't follow a yellow line given by man. You follow the cross of Christ given by God. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series for Lent and Easter called Cross References, looking at all kinds of things in the Old Testament that refer to and point to the cross of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And today we finish this series by looking at the cross reference of the cross in the camp of the Israelites. And to see that, we turn today to Numbers chapter 2 and verses 1 to 34. In this part of Numbers chapter 2, God tells the Israelites to go the way of the cross so they can get into the promised land. And in our text today, the cross in the camp of the Israelites is a cross reference to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we get the way of the cross, we can get to the promised land too. Our text this morning, Numbers chapter 2, verses 1 to 34, tells us three things that we need to do to go the way of the cross so we can get to where we really want to go. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to go the way of the cross, we need to understand what it is. And that's exactly what we see here in Numbers chapter 2. Now, at this point in the Bible, God brought the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea, and he's getting them ready to jump into the Promised Land. So he takes them to Mount Sinai, gives them the law, and shows them how to build the tabernacle so he can live with them. And then here in Numbers chapter 2, how they can live for him by going the way of the cross. Because notice here, the Israelites aren't just flash mobbing it. They're not just roaming around in the desert like free-range beef. They're going the way of the cross. Because notice here how organized the Israelites are. All 3 million of them now. More moving parts than a Chattanooga choo-choo, and yet straight as an army parade. And verse 17, it all starts with a tabernacle in the center. And the tribe of priests called the Levites. And then all the other tribes of the Israelites were divided into four main camps. Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and Dan. All spreading out from the tabernacle in the center in the four major directions. And every one of those tribes had their own banners and standards flying above them. And each individual clan and family in those tribes had their own banners and standards too. So starting on the east, here in America, we would start on the north because of the North Star. The Israelites started on the east because the sun rises in the east. And the only way that you can get into the tabernacle is from the eastern side. And I realize most people today never read the book of Numbers because they think all the numbers and all the statistics are just ridiculous and pointless. But listen to me, there is not one word anywhere in your Bible that's not there for a reason, especially here in the book of Numbers. So how are these tribes positioned? On the east, the tribes were positioned with Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. On the south, Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. On the west, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. On the north, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. And right away, it doesn't make any sense. Because the biggest tribes are not out there on the perimeter. Ephraim is right next to the tabernacle. He's one of the smallest tribes there is. Benjamin is on the perimeter on the west. He's the second smallest tribe of all. I could go on and on. But folks, we got to realize the Israelites are not the ones who made this plan. They didn't draw straws. They didn't flip a coin. They didn't say line up alphabetically by height. They didn't go blue shoe, how old are you? Judah is next to the tabernacle. They didn't bribe somebody to get that spot so they could be the first ones to get out of church on Sunday morning and the first ones to Cracker Barrel all the time. God is the one who came up with this plan. So even if it doesn't make any sense to us, it doesn't matter because it makes perfect sense to Him. Amen. And why did God organize the tribes like this? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. Because God is a God of order and not disorder. And He did it for safety and protection. So any one of those Israelites, no matter where they were in that camp, by knowing the layout and looking at the flags and the banners above them, they can know exactly where they were and exactly where they needed to be. But an even more important reason than that, because when you take this plan that God gives you here for how the camp was organized in Numbers chapter 2, and you draw that out on a piece of paper, each camp, proportional to how many soldiers and how many people were in it, all coming out from the tabernacle in the middle, you get that. The camp of Israel was shaped like a cross. It was shaped like the cross of Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because God's people are people of the cross. And God's people go the way of the cross. God was using the way of the cross to get the Israelites to the promised land. God still uses the way of the cross to get people to the promised land. If they just receive it by faith. Pop singer Billie Eilish, who is not a Christian, sings that song. What was I made for? I know what she was made for. She was made to know and love and serve God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through the cross. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. But see, Billie Eilish doesn't know Christ. She doesn't go the way of the cross. And sadly enough, she speaks for an entire generation who's lost as dirt in a snowstorm because they don't know who they are. They don't know where they are. They don't know why they're here because they don't know the way of the cross. Amen. I'm Kevin Garner. I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know exactly who I am. And because of that, I also know where I am. I am a part of the people of God. I am a part of the body of Christ. And I know why I'm here. I'm serving a particular body of Christ here at Fox River. And it has to be God who's organized this camp because I'm not the biggest one here. I'm not the strongest one here. I'm not the prettiest one here. And yet I'm the pastor of this place. Hallelujah. Americans today have completely forgotten that they are created by God to be a part of a body of believers. Only 40% of Americans today have membership in any kind of a church at all. Less than 30% of the people in this church, in this country, who even call themselves Christians, still go to church on a Sunday morning. Too many Christians are going old Lone Ranger. And these last days, you better get your butt in a church where you have a place and you know what that place is. Years ago, preaching a sermon in Mandan, North Dakota. Took me 2 straight days to drive there. Come to find out when I got there, they were having a dinner before the service started. And I hadn't taken time to eat anything. I was hungry. And I looked down at the end of the food table. There's a woman passing out pieces of chicken. It's called portion control. And when I got down there, she put this tiny little chicken leg on my plate. And I never, ever pull rank. But I asked her, I said, could I have another piece of that? Because I'm the speaker. You know what she told me? Well, I'm the lady that passes out the chicken. Move on. Know your place and occupy your space. This woman right here, Denise Van Kirk, she would never get up here at Fox River and do a wedding or a funeral. But you know what she does do? Every single day, she prays for me and my wife, Sue, the most important thing of all. Amen. Those people back there in that sound booth, they would never come up here and preach a sermon like I do on a Sunday morning. But you know what? I can't do what I do up here if they don't do what they do back there. Because I can't do what they do back there. I got no idea. I don't know computers. I don't know a megabyte from a mosquito bite. And what makes the whole thing work? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 34. The Israelites did exactly like God commanded them to do. The same thing is true today. Nobody going rogue. Nobody freelancing. Everybody in their place. All of us in our places with bright, shiny faces going the way of the cross. And Christians, listen to me. We better stay on that way of the cross. Amen. Because today, we've got all kinds of enemies that are trying to knock us off. Amen. Last March the 29th, Good Friday, Joe Biden issued this declaration. I, Joseph R. Biden, by virtue of the authority vested in me, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, as Transgender Day of Visibility. And I call on all Americans to join us in lifting up the lives and voices of transgender people throughout our nation. People, last March the 31st was Easter Sunday. Pagan in chief Joe Biden slamming millions and millions of Christians all over this country on the holiest day of the Christian calendar. And you talk about outrageous, because what in the world does a man cutting off his junk, putting on a dress, and pretending to be a woman have to do with Easter? National Transgender Day of Visibility. My question is, when have transgenders not had visibility? Because you see them everywhere today. Amen. And talk about ridiculous. What's supposed to happen on National Transgender Day of Visibility? Dylan Mulvaney sees his shadow and there's 6 more weeks of Pride Month. It ought to be called National Transgender Day of Reality, because scientific fact, there's only 2 genders, and all the woke claptrap in the whole wide world is never going to change that. But Joe Biden says, don't blame me. Don't blame me for that. Because President Barack Obama back in 2009 set March the 31st as National Transgender Day of Visibility. So it's not my fault, he said, that Easter falls on the Day of Visibility. That's not the issue. The issue is that fake clown holiday fell on Easter Sunday. And because it's not a federal holiday, it has to be renewed every single year. So Joe Biden could have at least deferred announcing that holiday or done away with it altogether. But see, Joe Biden, who claims to be a good Catholic and who loves slaughtering unborn babies and pushing sodomy and queering and transing your little kids, purposely chose to insult millions and millions of Christians instead. Everybody knows what's going on here. Joe Biden, the Grinch who stole Easter. And folks, he's not alone. Because all kinds of leftists did exactly the same thing. California Governor Gavin Newsom released a video on Easter Sunday extolling the so-called virtues of cross-dressing. New York Governor Kathy Hochul on Easter Sunday purposely chose to light up new landmarks in New York, the Empire State Building, World Trade Center, Niagara Falls with the LGBTQ pride colors on Easter. And why? Because the left is absolutely dedicated to destroying this country by destroying the Christian faith and the Christian culture that serves as the foundation for it. There's already 376 other LGBTQ holidays throughout the year. So even more gay holidays than are even our days in the year. So why another one, and why on Easter? White House spokesman Karine Jean-Pierre said conservatives who criticize Joe Biden for using Easter to declare a national day of transgender visibility are hateful and cruel. No, what's hateful and cruel is lying to people, and especially to kids, and telling them the reason they have issues is because they're freaks in nature, born in the wrong body. And the only hope they have is to start hacking off their body parts and change their gender, something that everybody knows is absolutely impossible. You talk about evil. But you know the other reason why the left trashed Easter this year? Try to provoke you. And to get you so mad, you do another January the 6th so they can spin it and say, see how crazy these right-wing, radical, Bible-thumping, homophobic, transphobic, white Christian nationalists are? Every single day, they just keep hacking away at everything that is good and righteous and holy and godly that's left in this country to try to demoralize you and to wear you down till you get to the point you'll either go postal or you'll give up and quit fighting altogether. But Christians, listen to me, we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep standing up for what's true. We're going to keep pushing the way of the cross till Jesus comes back. And why is that? Years ago, doctors discovered a special protein in the human body. It's called the glycoprotein. They called it laminin. A protein that is so important because it's that protein that holds all the tissues of your body together. In other words, we couldn't exist without it. And what do you know? Laminin is shaped like the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what you have inside of you. People, what does that tell you? Human beings were not created to be transgendered. Human beings were created to know and love and serve Jesus Christ through the cross and to glorify Him with their lives. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. So don't have a cow. The National Day of Transgender Visibility is going to end someday. But Easter is going to last forever. Because no man ever did turn into a woman. But see, one man actually did rise from the dead. Christians, we are not going to go the way of the world. We're not going to go the way of the left. We are not going to go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to go the way of the cross. The first thing that we need to do in order to go the way of the cross, we need to understand what it is. Nothing worse than a dry preacher. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to go the way of the cross. We not only need to understand what it is, we also need to live it and live by it. And that's also what we see here in Numbers chapter 2. The Israelites camped by it, they lived by it. Now, did the Israelites know that their camp was in the shape of a cross? Of course not. Because they didn't have drone cameras. And even if they'd seen a picture of it, they wouldn't have known what it meant anyway. Because a cross as a form of execution wasn't invented for another 1400 years. They didn't see it. So why did God do it that way? So He could see it. And so we could see it too. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11. Everything written in the Old Testament was written as an example for us. So we could see the way of the cross and we could live it out too. Because everything about that tabernacle, everything about the cross, everything about the camp of Israel was all about Jesus Christ and the cross. The camp of the Israelites was in the shape of a cross. The tabernacle was in the middle of the cross. The tabernacle faced the east. And the tribe of Judah was always right next to it. And why? Because Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In the last days of the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus is going to come from the east into the tabernacle, into the temple of Jerusalem, and set up His kingdom. Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 1 through 3. The very first piece of furniture that was made for the tabernacle was not the altar of incense. It wasn't the table of showbread. It wasn't the wash basin. It wasn't the bronze altar. It wasn't the seven-branch candlestick. It was the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim. On top of the Ark of the Covenant, on the lid, called the mercy seat. Ark of the Covenant was built first. Why? Because God does never works from the outside in. He always works from the inside out, starting right here in your heart. Your number one, absolute, most important priority of all is keeping the presence of God in the center of your life.
Amen.
And look at how the furniture was laid out in the tabernacle. It's arranged in the shape of the cross, in the holy place, in the holy of holies. And notice, the Ark of the Covenant is right where Jesus' head would have been on the cross 1,500 years later. Every single detail about the tabernacle pointed to the cross. And on the Day of Atonement, one day of the year, high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle the blood of a lamb on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. Leviticus chapter 16 said he would do that sprinkling in an up and down motion 7 times. And then he would sprinkle that blood from the west to the east 7 times. What is he doing? He's making the sign of the cross, the exact same sign the Israelites made with the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts of their houses on Passover. It's all about Jesus Christ and the cross. Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ and the cross. Life is all about going the way of the cross and not just knowing it, but living it. So let me ask you this morning, are you living it? Are you living for Jesus Christ? You can't be on the way of the cross if you're not saved. Are you saved? Because coming into this church doesn't save you. Going to church won't save you. Even the devil goes to church. Being confirmed won't save you. George Clooney got saved, got confirmed when he was 13 years old. Today he's as pagan as a Swahili witch doctor. Baptism won't save you. Serial killer John Wayne Gacy got baptized as a baby. Do you think he's in heaven right now because of that? Baptism by immersion, eating fish on Friday, going to church on Saturday, calling Jesus Yeshua, the Hebrew Roots Movement. None of that stuff is ever going to save you. In order to get through the wilderness to the promised land, you've got to go the way of the cross. You've got to confess your sin to God. You've got to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You've got to be born again. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot, will not see the kingdom of God. You've got to get saved. And if you are saved, are you living for Jesus Christ? Are you making sure that you're keeping the presence of God in the center of your life? 3 weeks ago, this guy right here came up to me at the prayer book in the back of this sanctuary, reading his Bible every day. He wanted my opinion on something that he was reading in Leviticus chapter 19. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many Christians read their Bible every day these days? Do you know how many Christians actually read the book of Leviticus? Are you kidding me? Why does he do that? Because he's keeping the presence of God in the center of his life. He is on the way of the cross. Are we doing that? Are you careful where you're going and what you're doing? Guys, listen to me. 2 drinks and a wink can ruin your life. The average teenager in America now spends 5 hours a day on their phone. Slouched over, brains turning to mush, scrolling their life away. Young people, listen to me. Your generation is the most lost generation in the history of this country. Going to hell in a handbasket. For crying out loud, put down the phone, get off the Hello Shark reels, and start witnessing for Jesus Christ. 1 out of 3 Americans now say they would rather be dead than not have their phone. People, there's a problem. Christians have lost the cross of Jesus Christ. The church has lost the cross of Jesus Christ. Last Super Bowl Sunday, Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio. This was a part of their worship service. A pastor named Brian Tome swinging back and forth on a wrecking ball, recreating that Miley Cyrus video where she swung on a wrecking ball naked. Did I mention this was a Sunday morning worship service? Singing the song, I Got Friends in Low Places, where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases all my blues away. We've lost the cross. The Church of Jesus Christ has lost the cross of Jesus Christ. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now because you tell me you are. Kevin, you got room to talk because you people out there at Fox River, you don't focus on the cross. You're all about MAGA. Are you kidding me? Every sermon that I preach in this church, after that sermon is over, I give an altar call for people to get up out of their seat and come to the front and come to the cross and get saved. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we had another person saved in this church, a 15-year-old girl and another teenage girl who now wants to get baptized. We focus on the cross here at Fox River Church. We don't hide it like we're ashamed of it, like most churches do. On the outside walls of this church, on the south and the west, there's a cross. Right in the middle of the south wall in the sanctuary, there is a cross. You walk into the sanctuary, the first thing you notice is the cross. When you're sitting in these seats, you are looking at the cross. Unless we're singing songs or we're looking at pictures of a sermon, you are constantly seeing the cross. The first thing you see when the service starts is the cross. The last thing you see when the service is over is the cross. We've got all kinds of names of all kinds of young people who have walked away from the Lord. Kids and grandkids that their parents and grandparents are praying for. Those names and pictures of those kids are underneath that cross right behind that altar.
That's right.
Year and a half ago, we listed all kinds of names of all kinds of prodigals that we have in our family that have turned away from Jesus Christ. The names of those prodigals are right there behind that altar, underneath the cross and under the blood. Last Easter Sunday, we had people look right out on pieces of paper. All the hurts in their lives they needed to deal with. All the people in their lives they needed to forgive. The names of those people are right there behind that altar, under the cross and under the blood. Fox River Church is about the cross. And people, listen, if we ever lose that, we ever get off the way of the cross, this church is lost. Now, ants, they don't get lost. You know why ants don't get lost? Previous picture. Now, when they're in your kitchen, ants are constantly following the smells and the scents. They know where to go. But when they're out in the wild, when they're just exploring, those ants are constantly, constantly calculating every single inch that they've traveled and every direction and every twist and turn that they've ever made. And they memorize every landmark that they come by. They are constantly calculating and computing and remembering exactly where they've been, so that any point along their journey, that ant can turn around and still get back home in time for supper. Ants never forget where home is. Christians, we never forget where the cross is. Where am I right now? Where's the cross? The cross is right over there. Okay, I'm right here. Where's my relationship with Jesus Christ? Where's the cross? It's right back there. Okay, I'm over here. That means I need to take a couple more steps this way. Where's my marriage at right now? Where's the cross? The cross is right there. My marriage is over here, which means I need to put my arm around my spouse and start walking that direction. Where's my kids at right now? Where's the cross? The cross is right there. My kids are way over there. That means I gotta go and grab my children and take them by the hand and bring them closer to the cross. Jesus, keep us near the cross. On the way of the cross. And do we have any idea what a blessing it is to be on that way of the cross? 1:29 a.m. last March the 26th, a 1,000-foot container ship called the Dolly from Singapore crashed into a pylon and wiped out the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland. And 6 people were killed when they were thrown into the Patapsco River, and 4 of those bodies still haven't been recovered yet. In the last couple of days, we've heard all the stories about all kinds of people who barely escaped dying on that bridge when the whole thing went down. One of them was a 61-year-old Uber driver and born-again Christian named Gail Fairman. 1:15 that morning, she picked up one of her riders and headed for the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And that woman that she picked up was 15 minutes late getting out of her house, and Carol Fairman was faunching because she had other pickups that morning. They got to the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God spoke to her heart and said, "Stop! Stop!" And she thought, "Lord, right here on the highway? What are you talking about? I'm just ready to get on the bridge." God said, "Stop!" She said, "Lord, if I stop, this woman behind me is going to be late to the airport. She's going to miss her plane." God said, "Stop!" Gail Fairman said, "God, if there's something wrong with the bridge," she knew the protocol. Lights would start flashing, gates would come down, security people would come out and tell cars to stop. 3 seconds later, gates came down, lights started flashing, security people came out and halted her. She was the first one in line that was stopped. Because the people in control of that bridge had just gotten a mayday call from that container ship that they were dangerously close to a pylon. 7 seconds later, that happened. Right in front of Gail Fairman's eyes. If that woman hadn't been led by the Spirit, if she hadn't heard that still small voice of God, she and her passenger would have both been killed. She wasn't going the way of the bridge. She was going the way of the cross. But there were 2 other drivers who passed Gail Fairman and had driven onto the bridge before security got all the traffic stopped. One of them was a semi driver, and the other was a Christian named Larry DeSantis, who had just gotten off of work at 1 a.m. and was headed over the bridge for his second job at a bakery. You see there in the video, the last two vehicles that crossed that bridge before it collapsed. Larry DeSantis was the first vehicle. And when he got on the bridge, he saw construction workers filling potholes, and there were all kinds of signs that said, slow down. But the Spirit of God told Larry DeSantis, get off the bridge, get off the bridge. So in spite of the warnings, Larry DeSantis floored it and got across and didn't even know the bridge collapsed 9 seconds behind him until a co-worker called him and told him what happened. Talk about being led by the Spirit. Now, the guy who was driving the semi-truck was a man named Jamie Dupree from Richmond, Virginia. He was not a Christian. And right when he got on that bridge, all of a sudden, for some reason, his radio picked up the Mayday call from the ship saying it was colliding into the pylon. The ship, the whole bridge was going to collapse. So Jamie Dupree started crying out to God. And he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know beans from apple butter about Christianity. But he remembered when he was a real little kid, his grandma had taken him to a Sunday school one day. And the teacher in that Sunday school taught him about a God who hung upon a cross. He didn't even know it was Jesus. So he just started crying out, God who hung upon a cross, save me. God who hung upon the cross, get me off of this bridge. God who hung upon a cross, help me. Last vehicle on the bridge. The last one before the collapse. That was Jamie Dupree. Just made it. People, listen to me. A little bit of faith, just a little bit of mustard seed of faith in Jesus Christ and the cross can save your life.
Amen.
And I know there's people listening to the sermon right now saying, Kevin, how in the world do people hear from God like that? I'll tell you how. It comes from going the way of the cross. Back in the wilderness, the Israelites had the presence of God with them in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Between the wings of the cherubim and the Ark of the Covenant. And above the tabernacle, above the tent, they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. When those pillars moved, the Israelites moved. When those pillars stopped, the Israelites stopped. That was their GPS. But see, when you become a Christian, that presence of God, the Spirit of God, comes into your heart and starts living inside of you. So the holiest of all holy places in the whole wide world is no longer a little room in a church or a temple or a tabernacle. It's right here in your heart and your spirit. And Jesus says that Spirit of God inside you will speak to your heart and lead you into all truth and tell you exactly what you need to do. John chapter 16, verse 13. There's people listening to the sermon right now, sitting right in this church. You need to get saved so you can be led by the Spirit of God, so you can hear that still small voice, so that you can be saved from death too. Going the way of the cross, because notice, it's not just knowing about it. It's not just thinking about it. You've got to accept it and you've got to live by it. The second thing we need to do to go the way of the cross, we need to live it. We go in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to go the way of the cross. We not only need to understand what it is, we not only need to live by it, but third, we need to march by it. And that's also what we see here in Numbers chapter 2. Marching orders. Because the Israelites went into battle in this formation too. And that's why all the different tribes of the Israelites were organized like they were. So on the perimeter, the Israelites did not have the biggest tribes that they had. On the perimeter, the Israelites had the best soldiers and fighters and warriors that they had, no matter what side of tribe they came from. And notice, who was always out in front, leading the way? The camp of Judah. Because Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. The captain of the armies of the Lord, Joshua chapter 5, verse 14. So armored Christian soldiers, people, marching as to war. And listen to me, we better be fighting today. We better be ready for war because there are all kinds of people right now who are absolutely dedicated to destroying this country and destroying the church in this country and destroying the cause of Christ. Last Easter Sunday, the Cartoon Network came out with these cutesy little messages. Only I can decide who I am. This is National Day of Transgender Visibility. You decide who you are. I am growing into my fullest self. That's for 5-year-old kids. They are coming to queer and trans your children, people, and they're not even hiding it anymore. All over America right now, every single day, FBI agents are grilling conservative American citizens about their Facebook posts. And they won't tell you that you're under arrest. They'll say, we're just trying to keep everybody safe and prevent ill will. It's called intimidating you into silence, because they know if they can control what you say, they can control what you think. They're coming after you, conservatives, you right-wing radical Christian nationalist domestic terrorists. Right now, the Biden administration is using something called the National Financial Enforcement Act. And that means they're using your banks and your credit card companies to red flag every purchase, every transaction that you make when you buy a Bible or anything religious. So when digital currency comes into vogue and to start being, the social credit score system will already be in place. And why are they doing that? Because they know the biggest threat to the total Marxist takeover of this country, Christians, is you. Last month, dozens and dozens of illegal aliens fought up against members of the Texas National Guard to get into this country in El Paso. You see a video of it there.
Down razor wire, breaking through this fencing. A handful of Texas guardsmen pushing them away as they stormed toward the border wall.
And dozens of those illegal aliens were arrested for assaulting members of the Texas National Guard. They were put in jail. But just last Sunday, Easter Sunday, a woke judge let them all go and released them into the United States. The left cares far more about illegal aliens in this country than they do legal citizens of this country. And why? Well, here's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, 3 years ago, railing against illegal immigration.
If you don't think it's illegal, you're not going to say it. I think it is illegal and wrong. People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
My, what a change of tune. And why? Because the goal of the left now is to use all the illegal aliens as a new voting bloc to keep them in power till kingdom come. I could go on and on and on. But see, God forbid that any Christians would ever say or do anything about it. Because Kevin, we got to be nice. We can't judge. We can't get involved in the culture wars. We can't be one of those Christian nationalists. We just need to love Jesus. We just need to love Jesus. Yes, we love Jesus. But Psalm chapter 97 verse 10 says those who love the Lord will hate evil and try to do something about it. So all you Christians listening to this sermon right now who want to sit on the sidelines and say and do nothing, you are contributing to the destruction of your own country and to the destruction of the church in this country. For crying out loud, Christians, grow a spine, stand up, speak up, and get in the fight.
Amen.
And listen to me, we can fight. Because when we fight for what God says is right, God will fight with us and He will fight for us. Numbers chapter 22, the Israelites are camped on the plains of Moab. And the king of Moab, a man named Balak, is quaking in his boots. So he hires a prophet named Balaam to pronounce a curse on the Israelites, on the Israelite camp. So Numbers chapter 23 and 24, Balaam climbs up in the mountains of Moab so he can look down on the camp of Israel and pronounce a curse on it. But when Balaam starts to do that, he can't do it. And instead, he pronounces a blessing on the Israelites. The exact same blessing that God pronounced on Abraham and his descendants. Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. And why? Because when Balaam climbed up in the mountains of Moab and looked down on the camp of Israel, he saw the shape of the cross. He saw the camp of Israel in the shape of the cross. They were under the sign of the cross. So Numbers chapter 24 verse 5, instead, he says, "How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel." They're under the sign of the cross. Christians, listen to me. You are blessed by God. And because you are blessed by God, you cannot be cursed by anybody or anything else. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. Jesus Christ took all those curses on Himself and died on the cross and rose from the dead to destroy the power that those curses have over you forever. So for crying out loud, stand up and fight. 14-year-old girl named Amelia Watson, Chippewa Valley, Wisconsin, born again Christian, has gone to school board meeting after school board meeting the last year and a half protesting against the transgender propaganda that's being pushed in her school with the 100% approval of everybody on the school board. Well, last January, she went to another school board meeting, stood up and said this, and watch what the school board does as she's speaking.
Others weighed in on your wife's social media post. One called me an unfortunate child. I'm not unfortunate at all. The unfortunate children are those of leftist parents who use their children's transgender identity as a badge of honor.
Oh, they're walking out.
Honor, who fight to keep sexually graphic books in school libraries so their children can read them,
out.
Then be susceptible to being groomed or victims of sex crimes.
Every one of those school board members except one got up and walked out of that room. Scared to death of truth spoken by a 14-year-old girl. But you know what? Because of what that girl did last month at a special election, every one of those school board members except one was voted out of office. Christians, stand up and fight. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be violent. You just do what that 14-year-old girl did. You stand up and you speak the truth and you trust God with the results. But listen to me, we're going to do that. We better hurry. Because all the signs are there. We really are living in the last days. People, time is so short. It is so short. We are seeing so many signs right now, flying around us all over. The only way you can tolerate today, looking around, is by looking up. Which, what do you know, is exactly what everybody and his brother is going to be doing tomorrow on April the 8th. August 21st, 2017, a total solar eclipse passed across the United States from Oregon to South Carolina, from the northwest to the southeast. Then tomorrow, on April the 8th, another total solar eclipse is going to pass across the United States from Texas to Maine, from the southwest to the northeast. And those two eclipses will make the pattern of a giant X right across the United States, centered right over the New Madrid earthquake fault, southern Illinois, Kentucky, and Missouri. Never before in history has a total solar eclipse passed across the United States, and then 7 years later, another total solar eclipse passed across the United States in the opposite direction. Gee, do you think maybe, just maybe, God is trying to tell us something? And you take those two eclipse lines and you add to it the pattern of another eclipse that happened, October 14th, 2023, and you get that, what we talked about last week, the Aleph from the Tav. The Hebrew letters Aleph and the Tav, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. All starting tomorrow on April the 8th. And folks, we know that when that happens tomorrow and that pattern is completed, it's a sign that judgment has come next spring. Because the last time two total solar eclipses passed across the United States and made a giant X over top of the New Madrid Fault was 220 years ago, 1806 and 1811. And that was followed by the three worst earthquakes in the history of this country. 1999 and 2006, two total solar eclipses made a giant X across the nation of Turkey, 7 years apart. That was followed by the worst earthquake in the history of that country. It killed 12,000 people. And not only that, but tomorrow on April the 8th, a comet called Pierce-Brooks is going to make its closest appearance to the planet Earth. And the Pons-Brooks comet is what's called the Vulcanic Comet because it's exploding and erupting while it's traveling, so it changes shape. And right now the comet looks like it has horns. That's why it's called the Devil's Comet. And starting tomorrow, it's going to appear 100 times brighter than normal so everybody can see it. Horns, people! Like the Antichrist beast has horns in the book of Revelation. What do you know? There was a comet visible in the sky in 1806 and 1811 too. When those three bad earthquakes happened at the time of the other two eclipses that crossed this country. And what do you know? The last 10 days, what have we seen all over the world? Earthquakes. Earthquakes in New Zealand, in Saipan, in Japan, in Taiwan. Here in the United States, last March the 30th, magnitude 5.8 earthquake in Unalaska, Alaska. April the 4th, a magnitude 4.2 earthquake in Magalia, California. Just last Friday, April the 5th, magnitude 4.8 earthquake in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. It's not even April the 8th yet, folks, and it's already started. Holy hell judgment, people, it's coming. The Aleph and the Tav. Jesus is the Aleph and the Tav. Revelation 22, verse 3. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Aleph in Hebrew means the strength of the leader. The Tav means marker covenant. On April the 8th, God is going to write the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Aleph and the Tav, right across the heart of the United States, saying the leader of the covenant is coming. The Aleph Tav judge is coming. And America's light is going to go out if we don't repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming. But here's the good news about April the 8th. Tomorrow, April the 8th, is the first day of the first month of the Jewish year, the month of Nisan, Nisan 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 3 and 4. On Nisan 1, Hezekiah opened the doors of the temple and cleaned out all the filth and all the perversion and all the idolatry. Ezra chapter 7, verse 9. On Nisan 1, Ezra and the people of God went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Nisan 1, Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River. So even though judgment is coming on April the 8th, Nisan 1, something good is going to happen on April the 1st, April the 8th. Something good happens on Nisan 1. There's new life, a new start, a new beginning. Nisan 1 was the day when the Israelites always crowned their kings. The king is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. And everybody who truly belongs to the king is going to be taken out of the trouble of this world and taken to heaven. That's what's coming. And how do we know that's really going to happen? Everybody knows Revelation chapter 13. In the last days, in the great tribulation, the Antichrist is going to put a mark, the mark of the beast, on the foreheads of everybody who rejects Jesus Christ. On the foreheads of everybody who worships the beast and follows demon spirits. And why does the devil do that? Because the devil always copies and perverts something that God does. Because the Bible says God's going to put a mark in the forehead of people who belong to Him to save him out of judgment. Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 4 says, before final judgment fell on the southern kingdom of Judah, God put a mark on the foreheads of everybody who belonged to Him to save them and to spare them from the judgment and destruction that was coming. Revelation chapter 9 verse 4 says, in the last days, God is going to put a mark on our foreheads, on the people of God, so that we will be saved and spared all the judgment and the destruction too. Amen. And the $1 million question is, what is that mark? Well, get this. The word mark in Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 4 is Tav. It's the Hebrew letter Tav. The sign that God is going to put on the foreheads of all the Christians who are saved. The sign that God is going to put on the foreheads of everybody who's born again. The sign that God is going to put on the foreheads of every person who's getting out of here in the rapture. The sign that God will put on the foreheads of every single person who's going to get out of Dodge before the trouble starts is the exact same sign that God is going to write across the heart of the United States of America tomorrow on April the 8th. People, don't tell me we're not living in the last days. Don't tell me that Bible prophecy isn't being fulfilled right in front of our very eyes. Don't tell me we're not this close to everything being over. And how do we know that? Last Sunday here at Fox River, during the sermon, we talked about the Aleph and the Tav. The Aleph and the Tav. When that Easter Sunday service was over and everybody left this church and walked outside and into the parking lot, looked up in the western sky, that's what we saw. Never seen anything like that before in my life. Those are actual pictures taken last Sunday right out here, looking up in the western sky over that church. What do you see? The Aleph and the Tav, but most of all, it's the Tav written in the sky. The exact same sign that God is going to write over the United States of America tomorrow on April the 8th. The exact same sign that God is going to write on the foreheads of all of us Christians to save us out of here and to take us home. Gee, do you think maybe, just maybe, God is trying to tell us something? We're this close. This close. God is trying to tell us we need to go the way of the cross. All through this series, we have looked at the way of the cross. And this isn't something that we came up with. This was God's idea. Even from before the foundation of the world, before God did anything, before He even created anything, He determined one day Jesus Christ would come to this earth, die on a cross to pay the price for our sin, and rise from the dead to guarantee our salvation. It's all about the way of the cross. It's what the Bible is all about. It's what life is all about. We've seen the way of the cross all through this series. The animal skins of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Abraham trying to sacrifice his son Isaac. The Passover lamb, the scarlet cord, the bronze serpent in the wilderness, the tree for bitter water. Today it's the cross in the camp of the Israelite. It's all about going the way of the cross. The Bible is all about the cross. But there's people sitting in this church right now. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. That cross is not going to do you any good if it doesn't get out of the Bible and get right here into your heart. We are living in the last days. We are winding down. There's people here today. You are not saved. You don't know Christ as your Savior. The nanosecond this service is over, you got to get up out of your seat, come to the front of this church and pray to receive Christ before it's too late. Amen. There's believers listening to this sermon too. all throughout this church. Right now, we are on the way of the cross. And believers, listen to me. It's that way of the cross that's going to get us through the wilderness to the promised land. So don't you dare turn to the right or to the left. You stay on the way of the cross. I don't care how scary it gets. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how discouraged you are. I don't care how freaked out. I don't care how evil the days are. You stay on the way of the cross and you keep reaching out. You keep speaking up. You keep standing up. You keep living for Christ. You don't quit. You don't give up, Christians, because we're almost there. Hold on. Hold on just a little bit longer because we're almost home.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired, shell of yourself, and you start to believe you don't have what it takes. 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. And with all your strength, sisters, run wild.
Second wave.